not as the as we face a lot of things in America and this in the States. I mean, it's going to come to Oklahoma soon enough. Never forget that our God is an awesome God. He still sits on his throne. He still directs the traffic of something we call mankind. He knows every action, every reaction. He knows everything that is going to take place before it's taken place. He watches the heart of every man, woman, and child in this country, in this world. And I think to myself, my God contemplates the condition of man, watches what is going on in the hearts of man tonight. What is making you tick? Anyway, I want to get into this message tonight. I believe the Lord this message is more for me, church, more than for you all. You know, as we go through life and we look at circumstances and we look at situations that we're faced with, whether it's employment opportunities, whether it's provision, the things that God continues to give us, show us, bless us with, give us grace, give us mercy. There's a lot of things out there, church. There's a lot of things, and many times we take it for granted. God is an awesome God. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance, God still sits on his throne. I want to get into this message tonight. The name of my message tonight is The Faces of Lions. So we're thinking, okay, where is this message going? What can you possibly get out of a message like this? Something the Lord has been putting in our hearts, church. It's just not me. It's meant for me, church, but it's all of us. And as I get into this message, I hope you can go along with this sermon and understand what I think the Lord has been impressing on us for the past 9 months, 10 months. How long have we been going continuously having God's presence in this place? Just think about that. Contemplate what other churches have been missing something. They have attendance, have a lot of people in church, have a lot of their pews are filled up, a lot of their chairs are filled up. But the seat of honor, Jesus Christ, is absent. God hasn't been invited to the service. How many churches are there in the United States tonight? You think about Sunday nights. Has Jesus Christ been invited to those places? If not, has he been invited to their homes? I want to go ahead and begin my text, reading of my text, and it's found in 1 Chronicles 12:8. If we could please stand for the reading of the word. First Chronicles 12:8 reads like this: "And of the Gadites there separate themselves unto David into the whole to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the rose upon the mountains." Father God, we're grateful to you for this night, for this opportunity, for grace, for mercy, for one more opportunity, Lord God, to share your word, to expound in your word, to share your word, to preach your word, Father. The opportunities of grace and mercy, Lord God, present in this place, for allowing your Holy Spirit to be here tonight, Father, we ask for your blessing upon the reading of the word. Ask for your blessing upon this message, Father. Touch every heart, every mind, every soul, Father. Let us never leave a place, Lord God, where your presence has been, Father. Let us never leave, Lord God, unchanged, but changed to a degree, Father. Moving up, Lord. We thank you, Father, for grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12, it's a list of all the mighty men that David mentioned. They're part of his legacy, church. And we talk about, sometimes in our church services, there are men, women that we consider part of the legacy of the church, the foundation of the church. And, you know, at this point, David has been anointed king over Israel. And as we go through this, David's army is consisted of a lot of men of valor. Men who are willing to die for their king. Men who are willing to put it all on the line. It's a good message for the church. Tonight, in 2020, is everyone willing to put it on the line? The distractions, the enemy that comes in every day in our lives. We talked about this in church tonight. what we're living in church today, Sunday, and tonight, are we living that way at home? At work? Are people able to see something different about us at work? Do we have something of value to offer this world? Mighty men. David had those. David had opportunities many times to fight battles, but his men were willing to stand up and fight for him. Men of valor. But I want to focus on this. The children of Israel, there was one of the children, they were the children of Gad, the Gadites. They were, the territory historically was on the eastern side of the river, on the Jordan River. They were known as a warrior tribe. Probably, church, because they probably had to fight a lot since they decided to stay on that side of the river. They probably always had to be ready to go to war. They had to be willing to fight at a moment's notice. So rather, in some way, their face resembled the face of a lion. You know, the use of the word like is pretty common. And it refers to something. Didn't mean they actually look like lions, but maybe because they had that fierceness. And this is where this message is going, church, tonight. People of Calvary Lighthouse Church, do you have that face of a lion? Do you have that fierceness for his word? Are you willing to put it out there? Do you have the strength of a lion? Do you have the bravery? Because, church, you know, tonight, in some cities are rioting. Some cities are looting. Young people are tied into video games tonight. And they're thinking, oh, he's going to get on the young people. But you know, the focus has become video games. The entertainment industry is a billion-dollar industry because it feeds the minds and the souls of our young people. Where does God fit into this equation? Where is God fitting into this equation tonight, church? We're so easily distracted with the things of this world. God is looking for men that have the face of a lion. God is saying, at this time, at this point in history, you have all been chosen. If you've been in these church services tonight, if you've been part of this church services the past 9 months, you all know what we're talking about. You all know your experiences. Have your experiences been real, church? Can you go back on those experiences from the past 9 months and say you've grown? Have we grown? Or just something we put up there for now? You know, we've had discussions, I mentioned this before. Sometimes we put out a resume out there. Every day we're trying for our jobs. Every day we're trying out for our jobs. Even before God, we try to put a resume out there. And we try to say, God, these are my qualifications. Church, God is not impressed with what you can put up on a wall. God is impressed with what you have in your heart. And it's always been that way. God is looking for men that have a face and women that have a face of a lion that are willing to give it all at this time. So this children of Israel, the children of Gad, they were known for being fierce warriors. And when the king called upon them, they probably stood up and said, I'll go. Are we ready to stand up and say, I'll go? You know, lions are distinguished throughout the Bible, animals in the Bible. They're known for their strength in Judges 14:18, their bravery in 2 Samuel 17:10, and their fierceness, Job 10:16. King of the beasts. How many would like to go hunt a lion tonight? How many? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have all the men putting their hands up. Let me finish the question. No guns. Just put a spear in your hands. Alone. Brother Charles keeps putting his hand up, but I don't know, Brother Charles. You might become T-boned by the time they're done with you. Because you've got to remember, the animal is very conniving. The animal is known for being fierce, for being strong, for being brave, and it will come at you. And church, that's how we need to be with the things of God tonight. That's where I need to be. You know, the Gadites were compared to lions in other parts of Scripture. In the blessing of Moses on the different tribes, He blesses Gad with these words, "Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and beareth the arm with the crown of the head." Deuteronomy 33:20. The tribe of Gad was compared to a lion. I'm saying, church, tonight, we need to be part of something special. God is looking for an army. God is looking for a group of people that are willing to fight tonight. Tonight, as I look around this congregation, you know, we were talking about percentages today. For some reason, 10%. We were talking about, and I'm trying to remember what the discussion was this morning. I don't believe it was in Sunday school, or maybe it was. But the 10% number came up in my mind. And I think I had preached this before, that years ago I'd heard an evangelist say that, you know, of just the Pentecostal group, 10% will make the rapture. 10%. Because people that are not ready, they don't have the fierceness, the determination. We're distracted with so many things. The enemy comes in and says, you know what, I'm going to entertain you for a season. And then I'll entertain you some more. God is saying, I need someone that has the fierceness of a lion, the bravery of a lion. I need someone that is going to go forward and who is going to be able to take on the enemy. Because you know what, church? I want to ask this question. Is for those that have relatives that aren't saved, how many of you are standing in the gap tonight for them? I want you to think about it. How many are standing there tonight? I'm looking around this church building, and I see some are distracted. Some are semi-paying attention. I'm not going to call anybody out. I'm saying that's the attitude we have in the house of God. That's the attitude we have out there when we're supposed to be winning souls. The fierceness of a lion. Are we ready? Are we willing to step up? We've had a lot of sermons, church, about our banners. We've had a lot of service about stepping up, about moving on. We've had so many services that God has spoken to us over and over and over. And how many of us have absorbed some of that? Sometimes we sit back with a critical mind. I do that sometimes. I'm thinking, Lord, is that you? Okay, how does that fit? Because, you know, some of us think differently. Some of us start thinking logically. We try to make logic out of God, and God just twists us around. We try to make the simple things simple with God, and sometimes God complicates them for just a season because we try to oversimplify things just so we can understand. God has a plan, church, for these people tonight. This message is for me. It's for us at this in this building, because there's a lot of us that God is going to depend on in these last days for your family's sake. You know, last time I preached, I talked about Timothy, your mother, Isaac, Lydia, who's standing in the gap for your mom tonight? I want you to think about that. Grant, who's standing in the gap for your mom tonight? Who's standing in the gap for my father tonight? It's a hard question, because sometimes we get so distracted and we say, Lord, I don't know if I have the fierceness of a lion to move on. I don't know if I have the bravery. God is saying, that's what I'm asking you. Just like the children of Gad, I'm wanting you to be prepared continuously. So we switch to what's going on now. Leaving the children of Gad behind. America is at war within its own boundaries. We are at war. We're not facing a civil war or the beginning of a civil war, church. We're facing a spiritual war. And it's gotten worse. You know, I was thinking about last night we had our practice. And yes, Brother Lucas, I failed to obey your direct order. And I opened fire and multiple shots rang out. And I thought about guns and protection, you know, and had a discussion with Steve. And it was that common sense, when it comes down to it, who's going to have the bravery, who's going to have it in their heart to actually protect the church? Who's going to actually step up in the line of fire and fire correctly when the adrenaline is going, when the screaming has started, and you think, wow. Those are the things we don't think about, but we train. God is looking for people who are willing to be trained. And I thought, you know, church, this gun, the guns we carry, they're not going to protect us. The grace of God is. Because the big question is, who's protecting your souls? Let's just forget about the flesh for a second, church. Who is protecting our souls? You know, we become alarmed at social changes affecting our society, our families, our relationships. Everything we know is changing, you know. Big question of the month. Does the Supreme Court of the United States retain the knowledge of God? Well, Amy Behrens has been nominated. Catholic lady. Church, if we're going to hang our hopes on this individual, let me tell you something. We need to hang it on the Supreme Almighty God. Because you know what? We're hoping. And evangelicals are embracing this nomination. But church, let's just be straight about this whole thing. If she subscribes to the Catholic Church, it's still Catholic Church dogma. And we sometimes embrace that. But you know what it is, her appointment, church? It's grace for just another season. It's just another season of grace before it all starts to collapse. And the United States is starting to experience that, church. I want to liken our experience, and I want you to bear with me on this point. God is providing us a spiritual clock to live through. What I'm experiencing now is what those wars, and they're based on three eternal wars that ring out eternally. You know, in John 19:30, Jesus therefore had received the vinegar. He said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That's when the clock began to move. In our Christian walk, church, that's when the clock began to move. I want you to look at Brother Lucas is going to put up a clock. I want you to think about a clock itself. Forget about the numbers up there, the Roman numerals. I want you to think of a clock where the face is inscribed with the word love. I want you to think of an hour hand called patience, a minute hand called grace, and a seconds hand called mercy. Okay? There are still 12 points on that clock. And this is the order that I see them in, church. There's the calling. There's decision. There's redemption. There's acceptance. There's salvation. There's baptism. There's faith. There's belief. There's consecration. There's adoration. There's profession. And there's evangelism. Right now, church, we are all at that point called evangelism and what it requires. We have all been through this clock in our lives, our spiritual walk. We have all been through. The hour has grown late. We are now looking at the final seconds of the clock. And I want you to think about this, church. When patience, grace, and mercy come together to set off the alarm, it jumps to eternity, church. Mercy is ticking away, grace is ticking away, and so is patience. The alarm has been set, church, and it's going to sound like a trumpet. God's patience, God's mercy, and God's grace are in its final leg. Are we prepared, church? But in those final seconds, God is saying, I'm giving you a window of opportunity to have the face of a lion. I need you to go after those souls that need someone to look out for them. Because you know what, church? No one else is doing it. I keep going back to that point. I keep thinking about my father, and I think, you know what? No one's praying for my dad except for me. And sometimes my prayers are pretty weak. Where's my fierceness? For those people, my siblings, my brothers, am I spending more time distracted with the things of life than the things that require life? God is asking those questions to us. You know, right now, scientists, there's a group of atomic scientists, and every year they meet, and they have something they call the doomsday clock. And now they think we're closer to the end of time, the end of the world, more than ever. It's basically, they call it the end of mankind. And I think at midnight, beginning of this year, the clock is set to 100 seconds before midnight. Now, whether you believe in the doomsday clock or not, I generally don't, because I don't think those scientists have a clue. They put in there based on climate change, unrest in the world, and all these issues going on, rioting, looting, and they all get together and they sit around in this room and they decide that we're a lot closer to being annihilated than before. And I'm thinking, you waste more time trying to figure out when you're going to get annihilated than just trying to fix the problem. And you know how they fix the problem? Jesus Christ. If they would just get it together and accept the idea that in the beginning there was God. And many don't want to accept that, because to accept that destroys everything they believe as atheists. Now, getting back to that key text, I want to propose the following. Church, for me, and for each one in here, you're all lion-hearted. You all have the heart of a lion. We've all been through these services, church. We've all grown. We've all matured. We've all experienced the move of God. You are all lion-hearted. Do you have what it takes? Church, you're all lion-faced. Your face is set forward. Are you willing to move forward? Because no matter, church, how many times we hear someone speaking in tongues and interpretations, no matter how many times we hear messages, it's not going to make a difference, church, if we're not applying that in our lives. God is looking for the lion-hearted. God is looking for the lion-faced. And you know, church, as I was going through this, I thought, Lord, what is it you have planned for each and every one of us in here? Tonight, we're all seated comfortably in here. These are nice padded chairs. None of you have any stress right now. Hopefully, if you're listening to the message, right? What is on your mind tonight, church? Are we distracted with youthful things? Some of us, older generation, are we going back in memory, back to the way things used to be? You know, I start thinking, Pastor, how the days growing up where you actually went, you could go to sleep with the door unlocked. Just a screen door. Those days are gone. I can't go back to those days, church. But when I can go, is to the days that are now, and those days are, we need to be praying a lot harder. We spend, you know, Pastor's been talking about prayer at 6 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays. How many have been praying at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays, without a show of hands? I want you to think about it, Pastor. If they were asked to raise their hands, would it be disappointing? About how many have not been praying. And I'm not coming down on anybody. What I'm saying is we all need to make it and do it a lot harder. We need to be a lot more lion-faced about this thing. We need to make the commitment that we want to go forward with this, church, because God has already given us grace. All these services, a lot of churches are not having them. Church, so many of you visited other churches for whatever weddings or whatever it is, and I'm telling you, they are not having the same type of services we've been having here. You have been experiencing a move of God. And if you're not taking advantage of that move of God while the Master is in the room, we're going to miss out. And the idea is not to miss out, church. The idea is to be able to be a part of that. God is looking for an army. You know, as this God has been preparing this church for now, for this time, how many would ever have thought you would have seen the kind of rioting and looting we're seeing? Protecting our guns, protecting our rights. And the church hasn't started getting hit yet. When the church starts getting hit, church, where are we going to be? Think about that. When someone comes in and tells Sister Lindsay, you can't sing up there. Anything about the blood, you can't sing. You better make it the very, very simple hymns. Someone tells Pastor, you cannot preach this kind of messages. We'll tell you what to preach. You don't think that'll happen, church? When somebody grabs Brother Jason and says, you know what? You need to stop sharing the Word of God. You don't think that's going to happen? Church, it's coming. And we think, well, no, this is America. It won't happen. I'm telling you, church, the things that we didn't think about a year ago are happening today. And it's happening all over the place. It's been happening for ages in other communist countries. And you think, Lord, how much longer before you come? And God says, the clock isn't hitting midnight yet. Evangelism, that last point, it still needs to be completed. And I have an expectation that many of you have one more soul you need to hold on to. One more soul we need to pray harder for. Because church, we all pray for the same needs. And we're saying, God, give us one more soul. And many times, that one soul we think is a stranger, many times it's not a stranger, it's family. God is saying, you need to have the fierceness of a lion. Are you willing to take on the enemy for their soul? How far are you willing to go? God has been preparing us for such a time as this. Strength, bravery, and fierceness. We are to arise, to step up, to fly the banner, sound the alarm, and give the shout. 1 Timothy 6:12 reads, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, for unto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Prepare to fight, church. Fight for your faith, your family, and your freedom. Are we ready to fight? 2 Timothy 4:7 reads, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Church, we can't say that yet because we're not done yet. God is giving us grace and mercy. And it's just not us, church. It's that person you're going to reach. They have grace and mercy. James 4:12, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Recognize, church, through His will what we are asking for. Think to yourself, what am I asking for? Is it my needs or is it the needs of somebody else? What exactly are we asking God for? 1 Corinthians 14:8 reads, for if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? It's a question. We need to be in tune with what God is requiring. We need to differentiate between going forward and retreating, between charging now and waiting a season. That's the Holy Ghost. Are we in tune with the Holy Ghost? Job 39:25 reads, He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, and he smelt the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting, that the hawk fly by the wisdom and stretch her wings towards the south, that the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high. She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock in a strong place. Let us be listening for the battle, church. We need to be willing. You know, some of the battles that are being waged, they're not our battles. Sometimes it's someone else in the church that is needing someone to step up and help them. Because there is a battle raging. There's people in this church that are battling serious, serious battles. And they need someone from the church to pray alongside them. Deuteronomy 21, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seize horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for thy Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. God's army is not fueled with fear. God's army is fueled with courage. How many times do we see how big the problem is, church? And we back out. How many times do we think, you know what, it seems like an impossible thing. Many of you, some of us are going through big changes, going through things in our lives that we thought we'd never face a year ago, 2 years ago. And you know, God is moving. The question is, am I willing to move? Are you willing to move with what God is asking? What is God asking you, church? Have you set your face to battle? Have you put on your lion face? Are you willing to fight now? Are you willing to go forward? Are we willing? Think about that. Many times we say, Lord, I'm weary, I'm tired. And God says, you've got to go a little bit further. Lord, I'm exhausted, I don't want to do this anymore. You've got to go a little bit further. God, I am tired. This is going to happen again. It's disappointment after disappointment. God says, you've got to take one more step. Lord, I'm exhausted. God, I'm crawling. Well, keep crawling a little bit further. And at the end of it, God says, get on your knees. And that's where the battle will be won, church. Well, God, I don't understand. It's not for you to understand. It's for you to obey at this time. You know, church, I look at my life. I was thinking about this year recently. You know, we're talking this morning, our lesson, you know, we talk about humility, right? You don't lift yourself up. You don't pat yourself on the back. So by the fact that I say I'm humble, I'm already proud, right? So I've learned not to say anything. You guys tell me that I'm humble, and then I'll be good for it. I want you to think about that. How many years we put into what we call the ministry? You know, Pastor, you look at your career, or your time in the ministry. I look at how many years I worked with Royal Rangers. The very first message I preached, I go that far back and I think, Lord, for such a time as this, you have been preparing each and every one of us. Because through us, you've been preparing young boys for ministry, for salvation, and maybe they're not going to serve in church, but they're going to serve you in some way or another, Lord. But God, have we shown them what it is to be lion-hearted? Have we shown people that it's okay to be strong? Have we shown people it's okay to stand up for your God? Because many times the world is telling you, you know, right now this Supreme Court justice is being attacked for her faith. If they can attack a Supreme Court justice, what makes you any special? When those rules come down, you know, I think, Lord, you're going to have to come quickly because it might get a lot worse. And God says, don't worry about the time. Worry about where you're at and this time now. Lion-hearted, lion-faced. Are you ready to go forward and march? Are you willing to fight? First Samuel 17 reads, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. You know, church, the enemy is not going to be able to stand when we offer God the sacrifices due him. Anytime it looks like the enemy is approaching, church, that's when it's time to praise. Anytime it looks like the enemy is going to overtake, that's when it's time to pray. Anytime it looks like the enemy is going to take you out, that's when it's time to get on your knees. Because you know what? When you've yet God what's due him, his praise, his honor, his glory, no one is going to be able to stand up to God. The enemy will flee, church. And sometimes we say, Lord, I think I can handle this. We put 90% God into and 10% of our flesh and say, God, I think I can make this work. God says, no, it's all or nothing. And we do that. Because, church, I, as an individual, and we all do this, we think we got it figured out. We look at our flesh. We think we can think things through. And you know, Pastor, it never works. Because just when we think we figured it out, the game changes. You know, when I watch these young boys play games back there, four square, and I go back there and, Pastor, I really don't get that game. They tell me about it, but logically I just don't. I don't have a sense of why I would want to play it. I played it once. And you know, but they enjoy it. But sometimes I hear them changing the rules. And, you know, and it's kind of funny because they all get into this discussion about, well, we're playing by these rules and house rules. And I'm thinking, you know, but that's the youth of today. Let them enjoy life. But at some point, they're going to have to put on that lion face. At some point, we're going to be depending on them for battle. You know what? I was just thinking about Brother Lucas during testimony. You know what I miss from like 2 years ago? A year and a half ago, when our boys, during testimony, would read scripture. Do you remember that? Boys, what does that mean? That's a hint. You know, church, I miss that. Because we've lost something there. We need to get it back. You know, those little things, they slip and they leave. And sometimes it's hard to get them back as they get older. Church, we don't need that. We need our boys to be absolutely resolved that they're going to be lion-hearted, lion-faced. They're ready to take on the enemy for us. Church, because the day may come that you may not have enough to pray, but if your child is able to pray you through, Well, thank God because you've shown him something. Isaiah 6, 1 through 4 reads, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Let me tell you, church, you know that the enemy, they feel those posts moving. They see those posts moving. You know, we think that's just limited to heaven. You know that hell quakes when those praises go up. You know, the enemy starts to run when they see the adoration for Almighty God. But God is saying the only limiting power is the church of today, the church of now. Church, when we pray, when we worship, in my mind, I imagine that the enemy is quaking. When we start praising and we start speaking in tongues and we start getting loud and everyone is participating, church, the enemy starts to quake. But church, unity means everybody. Church, unity means everybody. If you're distracted in church during praise and worship, you really need to focus in on praise and worship, church. Because God is looking for unity. We are all in this together, church. And it's just an encouragement. When the praises go up, His glory comes down. And I've always said, church, someday, even before, Pastor, I leave this place, I would like to see His glory fill this place. I would like to see that, church, for myself. That physical manifestation, that's supernatural. But church, we all need to be in this 100%. When we're all praying together, when we're all worshiping together, when we are all in one accord, I think that's going to happen, church. So during church, don't let the small things distract you. Let the big thing attract you. Almighty God. Our prayer should send the enemy into delusions. You know, the enemy needs to see the smoke coming out of this place, the praises of his people. 1 Samuel 17:47 reads, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hands. Embrace what God can do through you and not of your own. It's time to embrace what God can do through you, church. We can't do it alone. You can't do it alone, church. I can put my degree out there and say, you know what, I think I can figure this out. I can't figure it out. I learned that a long time ago. That it doesn't matter to God. It's the willing vessel. You know, church, sometimes God says, your resume, your background, what you think you are doesn't matter to me. What matters is your heart. Where is your heart tonight? Embrace what God could do through you. 1 Chronicles 13:14 reads, and when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried on to the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. Simple. Shout of praise. A shout, a cry. The midnight cry. Are we still praise? Are we still shouting? Are we still praising? Look around the room, church. Look at one another in this church. Are we all on the same page tonight? I want you to think about it. Are we all on the same page? Just for the most part, we have to be. Jesus Christ is coming soon. If that rapture were to take place tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday night, Friday night, the concern so much isn't us. Is it going to be your family? Are they going to make it? God, grace. Before that clock strikes midnight, before that evangelism part of your clock, that last hour, before it ends, God, before eternity starts, I want to know, God, that I made one more attempt. God is giving us grace and mercy tonight. God is asking for people that have an anguish in their hearts. How much of an anguish you can have that face of a warrior, lion-hearted, but he's also wanting a heart filled with anguish for those lost loved ones. It should break our hearts, church. It should bring us to tears that there are family members that if the Lord were to come, if they were to be judged tonight, they would end up in hell. I say, God, you've got lion-hearted people in this church that are willing to step it up. God, that is what you've been teaching us and training us for, God. This has been a training ground, church. This has been, if you think about it, a military garrison here. You talk about developing warriors. God has been developing people that are going and who God is recruiting into his army. That's what you have been doing all this time. I want you to think about that, church. All of us. Now, are we ready to carry the banner and go forward? I believe we are. Are we ready for that battle? Let me ask you this question. Are you ready for that final battle for that soul you've been praying for? Can we carry that battle? Can we carry that banner into war? Can we sound the trumpet? One more opportunity, grace. We got to keep the shouting going. In a church, one cannot win a victory if we do not engage in a battle. You can't win a battle if you don't enter a war. You can't enter a war without preparation. You can't prepare without discipline. You cannot be disciplined without dedication. You cannot be dedicated without desire. You cannot have desire without prayer. And we are all called to war with prayer. Every battle starts with prayer, church. And I believe the lion-hearted people of this church are ready for battle. It starts deep down inside. I have seen the prayers out here at church. I have seen people praying. You know, what fascinates me is I had never seen it until this 9 months, but I see our boys, and I just pick on our boys because that's who I deal with. When I see our boys praying, talking, speaking in tongues, speaking to God, it should give us that joy in our hearts, church, that there is a hope for a generation. There is still hope for a generation. Our young girls go up and they pray, but I always focus on the boys because my desire is that those are going to be the leaders of homes. Those are going to be the leaders of their households. And some of them may be in ministry, but God, help us all to be as responsible as they are becoming and help us give them that responsibility. The clock is about to strike the end of patience, grace, and mercy. Someone's midnight is our eternity. The clock is ticking, church. And I look around and I think, wow, we can do it. We can do it, church. Every one of you has been tasked by the Almighty to go forward and pray a little bit harder and pray a little bit longer and dedicate and commit and consecrate. The Christian who wants to be used of God, and that's an oxymoron here because every Christian should want to be used of God. You need a call of engagement, a call of commitment, a call of dedication, a call of reserve, of resolve, and it's a call to die. Are we ready to die to ourselves tonight? God is looking for a few. And I say, God, here they are. Here's your few right here, God. Because if it takes just this group here tonight who's ready to battle, well, Lord, you got an army. Because in unity with all the prayers you can muster, and if we all pray for those needs, you know, we've spoken about some of you have lost loved ones. If we all prayed for Isaac and Timothy's mom, Lydia's mom, if we all prayed when they prayed for her, if we sent those prayers up, if we started burning heaven with our prayers for all the needs, physical needs, church, how much more power is there? I'm saying God is saying, if you got unity, I'm going to start moving. And maybe God is saying, Pastor, you have 99% participation. I want 100%. And you say, okay, God, we'll give you 100%. God says, that's all I'm asking. I'll make it simple. Everyone dedicated to Almighty God. Because God is looking for the lion-hearted, the lion-faced person who's willing to say, God, I'm going to go with you all the way. Because I'm ready to go all the way with God, church. Can you say you are? And I'll answer for you, you are. But we have a lot of distractions in life. Situations, things that sometimes weigh us down. God simply says, just leave him at the altar. Tonight under grace, the altars are still open. Today under mercy, the altar is still open. Today under God's patience, the altar is still open. But when all that hour hand and that minute hand and that second hand all come together, it's done. Jesus said, it is done. That was my beginning. But when that trumpet sounds on that clock, it's done. But church, I'm saying, God, give me those few seconds so I can reach my lost loved ones. God, give me those few seconds, God. Let me take advantage of that, Lord, because I know what's going to happen, God. You've shown us what is going to happen at the end. But Lord, I want to be able to take my family with me. Lord, I want to be able to take my dad, who doesn't know who you are. And God, who profanes your name, who raises his fists at you, God, I want to be able to take my father to heaven. Because God, that would be a big work in my life and in his life. But God, I can't do it without you. And God simply says, you need to trust. Put on your lion face. Become lion-hearted and be willing to go forward and march forward. God is looking for people, men, women, young people, children, that are willing to say, I'm going to go forward. You know, I thank God for all the young people in here, even the little ones. You know, since I've been talking here, I hope I've taken some time here. I'm almost done. I watched a little girl in the front who's been paying attention the whole time. And you know, I'm saying, church, thank God for the little people that are still focused and listening. You know, it's a blessing, church. Because, church, I understand I was a teenager once. Sometimes we get distracted. Don't make the mistakes I made as a teenager, as a young person. And some of us have that where we say, Lord, from my experience, don't let them ever repeat those mistakes. But God, let them be lion-faced. Let them be set, God, that no matter what happens, Lord, when I cry out to you, Lord, I know that there's going to be a group of people crying out right beside me. Because when I fall down on that road, they're going to pick me up. When I falter, they're going to give me that sword back in my hand and say, you're ready to fight. And when God says, I prepared an army, this is your army right here, church. This is it. No one else is coming through that front door. It's just you. And I say, thank God. Because you know what, church? That's what it's all about. It's that heart, that desire, and this church has it. Why else would God be visiting this place for the past 9-10 months? How many have tired of his visitations? Nobody has. You know, church, I mean, this is, Pastor, nothing against you, but Sunday mornings, when praise and worship starts, you start thinking, is Pastor going to get to preach? I think praise and worship continues to go and go, and you think, wow, this is really enjoyable. No, please, nobody talk. Brother Lucas, nobody. We want to feel the presence of Almighty God. It isn't to say, Pastor, that, you know, we don't want nobody preaching Sunday morning, right? It's that we're saying the presence of God, because we're not getting it anyplace else. At this, with this volume, with this, in this group of people. And I enjoy pastors preaching. But when the presence of God starts to exhibit itself in a strong way, you'd rather just close your eyes and say, Lord, if I'm going to be one of these young people, and I consider myself young, because church, I'm not as old as some people in this room. Maybe. I want to say, God, I want to enjoy your presence one more Sunday, one more Sunday night, one more Thursday night, Lord. Because the world out there is as tough as it is. But during those times is when God says, put on your lion face. Go out there and get ready to battle. You know, church, 2 Corinthians 10:4 reads, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Jeremiah 51:20 reads, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Church, this is not a call of duty. This is a duty to a call. This is a call to discipleship. This is a call to arms for all true, blood-bought, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled Christians. We're looking for that reward for more souls. You know, I want to just finish with this thought. When Jesus says it is finished, that Great Commission started. And for years, I have fought that. Because to me, Great Commission was just sometimes just working with a couple of boys and Roll Rangers with youth groups back in the 90s. That's a long time ago. That was part of my Great Commission. But now God has taught us through His Word these past 10 months that we need to go reach higher. There's another level that we're missing. Because sometimes we're afraid to take that extra step. And God is saying simply, just like Peter, when he walked out on the water, it's just one step at a time, church. If God can show us those miracles, you know, we'd be more than content. But God says, I don't want you to go by miracles right now. I want you to go by faith. Simply, God is showing us these past 9-10 months, it's been by faith. All of us, lion-hearted people. Church, as we all stand around this place in the sanctuary tonight, Sister Lindsay, if you want to go ahead and come on up, or someone. That clock's about to strike midnight, church. The clock is about to complete its run. That hour hand is pretty close. That minute hand, second hand, and it's ready for the final scene in this thing we call our lives. God is looking for a group of people tonight, and He's found them in His sanctuary, church. I encourage you, church, that it's this people, it is you, from the oldest to the youngest. And I look around this room and I see young girls, young boys, and I say, God, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for youth and strength and wisdom from those of us that are a little bit older, and knowledge and experience. You put that all together in the same room. God says, that's the army I'm looking for. Church, are we willing to go forward? I know we are. Each and every one of us has a desire for someone in our lives that's lost. Some of us are looking for something else other than what we have right now. God is wanting, God is desiring His people to become lion-hearted and begin the fight, because we are in warfare, church. When the battle lines were drawn years and years ago, God called you by name. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, and I've always thought of it this way, before those famous words, "It is finished," were uttered, Jesus Christ saw every one of your faces, every one of our names. He called you by name. He already knew who you were. And Jesus lovingly said, I'm doing this for you. And under grace and mercy He gave us for so many years. But now, God says, now I need you to do something else. I need you to enter the army of God. Lion-hearted, and the faith and the strength and the courage and the bravery of a lion. That's what I need from my people now. It is time to march forward. And it's time to start taking souls back. And I think I heard this here a couple of weeks ago here at church. You know, church, if the enemy should be quaking every time he sees or your name is mentioned. Every time they hear, oh, Jason's teaching Sunday school, the enemy starts to tremble on the outside. But Lucas is going to preach tonight, the enemy should begin to tremble. Pastor Pepper's going to preach Sunday morning, and there should be such a fear and trembling that goes through, that reverberates through hell itself, saying it's those Holy Ghost people once again doing what they've always done. Is praise their God, worship Him, and gain strength through unity. Church, tonight as we all come to the altar, my desire, church, is a welcome together with unity in our hearts, that we are all unified and we all desire the same things, to be ready to go forward with Jesus Christ. And I know we can do it, church, because we've done it before. But this time, Lord, with a new resolve that I'm gonna actually fire it up more, God. When Pastor says I need prayer on Wednesday morning, maybe we need to do two or three mornings a week. Because maybe, Pastor, just Wednesday morning for us isn't enough. Maybe it's got to be more. More Bible reading. We challenge our young boys about how many have read the Bible through and through. Brother Lucas has talked to them about the Bible merit, that they're supposed to have read their Bibles through and through. If I were to ask the question, how many young people have read the Bible through and through? Would I get a show of hands? Teenagers, it's hard. I know that. I've been there. Pastor, you've been there. We know the struggles. But God is saying, you know, put the struggles behind. Let's get a new resolve. Let's resolve tonight. We're going to be unified. We're going to have the strength that God gives us. We're going to be lion-hearted, and we're going to move forward. So church, let's come forward. Find a place to pray. And let's resolve tonight in our hearts that we're going to be unified, and we're going to be lion-hearted and courageous, and have the strength of a lion, the fierceness in prayer, in our prayer lives, and that God will continue to shower this place with His blessings. Father God, finish the message tonight. Thank you, dear God, for your blessings, for your mercy, for your grace, Lord. Lord Jesus, as we come together before you, Lord, in this place tonight, God, I pray for unity, Father, spirit, mind, and soul, Lord God. I pray, dear God, for continued strength, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that we become, Lord God, a lot stronger than we've been, Lord God. A lot more committed than we have, Lord God. With more resolve, Father, than we've had in the past, Father. We thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, for time is growing short, Lord. As that clock, Lord God, is nearing the end, Lord God, of time. God, grace, mercy, patience, Lord God, are nearing the end of it all, Lord. We thank you, Father. God, one more soul, Father. Let it be those, Father, closest to us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.